A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. After Jesus had been taken up to heaven, the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they entered the city, they went to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. All these devoted themselves with one accord to prayer, together with some women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. The word of the Lord. Glorious things are told of you, O city of God. His foundation upon the holy mountains, the Lord loves. The gates of Zion, more than any dwelling of Jacob. Glorious things are said of you, O city of God, and of Zion they shall say, one and all were born in her, and he who has established her is the Most High Lord. They shall note when the peoples are enrolled, this man was born there, and all shall sing in their festive dance, my home is within you.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem. Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary of Magdala. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple there whom he loved, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. After this, aware that everything was now finished, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled, Jesus said, I thirst. There was a vessel filled with common wine. So they put a sponge soaked in wine on a sprig of hyssop and put it up to his mouth. When Jesus had taken the wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he handed over the spirit. Now, since it was preparation day, in order that the bodies might not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath day of that week was a solemn one, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs be broken and they be taken down. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and then of the other one who was crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one soldier thrust his lance into his side, and immediately blood and water flowed out. Verbum Domini. Well, I just returned from the wonderful National Eucharistic Pilgrimage that traveled through my home archdiocese, the Archdiocese of Dubuque, Iowa. Certainly one of the highlights of my priesthood. And we'll be posting on Wednesday on the Friars YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram, other social media, the first of three compilations of those travels. I'll look for that on Wednesday. It'll be also on EWTN's Facebook. You can just go to franciscanmissionaries.com and find our social media links at the bottom of the page. And one of the many highlights was the second day, Saturday, May 24th, where we walked 5.5 plus miles through the newly planted fields in Iowa with our Lord and the Blessed Sacrament. We had perfect weather. I was able to carry mile 4, so I was grateful for that privilege. And then we arrived at this extraordinarily beautiful church in this little town of Petersburg, Iowa, Saints Peter and Paul. And then we had a holy hour with adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, and then finally concluded with a beautiful anticipated Mass for Sunday, that Saturday evening. And the Mass was really one of the highlights, and that's one of the things I wanted to first begin with to talk about that. So this church has recently been restored and beautified, remarkable church that rivals any in Europe, really. And in this beautiful environment, we just walked through the beauty of God's creation. And we had this beautiful Mass. And the pastor, Father Christopher Podaski, sang the Mass. And the people, like this morning, knew the responses and just responded wholeheartedly. It was such a beautiful thing to experience in this beautiful environment, but also just the beauty of singing and singing the Mass. You know, recently there's been a lot of news about the singing Pope. So May 11th, he makes his first public encounter with the people for the Regina Caeli address. And as his predecessors typically would recite the Regina Caeli, Queen of Heaven Rejoice, Alleluia, that he sang it. Regina Caeli, laetare, Alleluia, in the traditional chant. And he sung other things. He sung parts of the Mass. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. So he's become known in some ways as the singing Pope. Well, you may not know this, but the Vatican has an Institute for Sacred Music there in Rome, the Pontifical Institute of Sacred Music. And so the president, a Dominican father, Robert Melhart, he witnessed this. He was delighted to hear His Holiness singing the Regina Caeli, but he noticed the people responding. Some knew the Regina Caeli, and they could respond with him, but some knew kind of it, and they could follow somewhat, and some didn't know it at all, but they wanted to participate. And so what he decided was that he would create these little short videos to teach people how to sing with the Pope. And so he'll have a clip of the Pope singing, and then he'll teach the people how to sing that very same thing, as well as doing some instruction about the text itself. And so our news department, both EWTN News In Depth with Catherine Hadro, did an interview with Father Melhart, as well as our EWTN News Nightly. And so he talks about, you know, our Pope is an Augustinian. Well, St. Augustine spoke often of singing. He said, to sing is to pray twice, because it's something that moves our hearts to sing. We want to sing to the Lord. It's said that it's the closest we come to the fiery, burning love of the angels. And it's the highest art we have in the church. Beautiful architecture, beautiful artwork. These all enhance our celebration and give us a little bit of a taste of the glory that is to come. But sacred music is the highest of the forms of the church's art. Why? Because we're uniting sacred texts and the Word of God with something that goes back 2,000 years, even, some say, to the Jewish synagogues. You know, the Benedictines here in Cullman, north of here in Cullman, they had a rabbi that had come to visit the monastery. And the monks there were chanting their evening prayer. And afterwards, the rabbi said, you know, that chant's the one that we use. So there's really a connection with this just simple tones by which we can elevate our own prayer and we can raise our minds and our hearts to God while we're glorifying God. Well, all of this is quite providential because we have something free we want to offer everyone. We've had this for years, but we're offering this EWTN Global Televised Mass Guide. And we've gotten the permissions needed from the United States Bishops' Conference regarding the production of this, but it will help you to sing the Mass, both in English or in Latin. And so it's been beautifully put together by our team here, where we have the English on the left side and then the corresponding Latin on the other side. You know, the new missal that we have has the chants. That's one of the reasons why I sing them so often, why we sing them here. But this will enable you to sing with the Pope, as well as to sing with the Universal Church in the Latin parts and to learn them. You know, it's great. It's fun, actually, to learn something new, especially regarding our faith, to learn this heritage that we have, this rich heritage of sacred music, and to be able to join in that, what saints have sung centuries before us. So our beautiful girls' choir today, they're singing Cum Jubilo, Mass 9, the Gregorian Mass. It's a beautiful, one of my favorite Masses that we especially sing on Feasts of Our Lady, and today's the feast, the memorial of Mary, Mother of the Church. And so to learn something new, to learn to sing with the saints and to realize that the joy of heaven is something where it's expressed in the song of the saints, you know, that they're singing the praises of God forever. So we offer this free for all of you that would like to learn. Don't be a grouch, you know, and don't say, I can't learn anything new. Of course you can. And it's fun to learn something new, especially something that will enhance your faith, enhance your ability to participate in the Mass and our Mass here at EWTN. So how can you get this free of charge? You can go to EWTN.com/massguide. So that's the simplest way, EWTN.com/massguide. My parents never had a computer, so for those of you who don't have the internet or those things, we have a special 800 number where you can order this as well. Again, free of charge. 1-844-633-6277. 1-844-633-6277. So take advantage of that, singing the Mass. St. Augustine, again, our Holy Father is an Augustinian. He said that only the lover sings, that the song, that a song is a thing of love. And so for us to sing the Mass is a way to express our love for the Lord. Of course, we can just in our silent prayers, and we do. But it is a particular way that we can enhance our own celebration of the Mass and of the liturgy. So I encourage you in that. Now, as you look at this feast, Mary, Mother of the Church, we had as both our entrance antiphon and our first reading taken from the Acts of the Apostles, where they are gathered in the upper room with Mary. Now, sometimes we might think, well, they're in the upper room. Are they afraid? Well, no, the attitude is something quite different than before they discovered the Lord's resurrection, where they were fearful in the upper room. And St. Luke, who wrote the Acts of the Apostles, the very last sentence of his gospel, which he calls the first book that he wrote, here's the last sentence of his gospel. They worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God. So quite a different attitude when they saw the Lord after 40 days and now he ascended into heaven. And now they were continually praising God. They were filled with great joy and they're waiting for the promise of the Father. And how are they waiting? Together with Mary, the mother of Jesus. And so when the Word became flesh in her womb, the Holy Spirit descended upon her and overshadowed her. And the Lord became present through the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. But now the Holy Spirit comes that we celebrated yesterday, and his mystical body is formed around her. So the disciples, the apostles, are there. And now, through the Holy Spirit, the mystical body of Christ now is being formed around her. So truly, she is the mother of the church. And so the church also gives us today this reading from John's gospel, where our Lord from the cross says, first to her, behold your son. Behold your son. So first, it is for her to take us into her immaculate heart. And then he says to us, behold your mother, that she has now taken us at the command of her son into her immaculate heart, cares for us, she is near to us. We instinctively refer to her as mother, and now we are to look at her as our mother. Behold your mother. And so today we honor her. And to think of Jesus, that there's one time in the Gospels that we are recounted, it's recounted that Jesus sang. One time where it's recounted he sang. And do you know when that was? When he instituted the Eucharist. So they sang hymns, and then he goes out to what he would endure in his passion. Mary, certainly, we sometimes refer to the Magnificat as Mary's song. It certainly must have been something that she sang. She would have sung the Psalms, too, as it was typical of the Semite people to sing and to create songs as Mary did. So she, too, was one who lifted up her mind and her heart to the Lord. So, my dear people, we are so blessed in the riches of our heritage, the beautiful art and architecture. I came to discover in a deeper way, a richer way, the history of the Archdiocese that I grew up in. to see the rich heritage of the beautiful churches that just give us a little bit of a taste of heaven, and then the sacred music that we've been given. That we look at the music today, which has been so distorted in so many ways, that rock music tells us freedom without responsibility. Other sorts of music express anger or try to arouse emotional, romantic feelings or lead us to immorality. But what is the purpose of music? The purpose of music is to elevate our minds and our hearts to God for the glorification of God and the sanctification of us.